Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome to Primetime Crime Podcast. I am your host, Kylie, and in this podcast, we are going to deep dive into some lesser-known unsolved true crime cases, from missing persons to unsolved homicides. This is the place where we are going to unpack it all, research it all, talk about it all, and try to bring justice to these families after all of these years. We are going to take it one story at a time, one case at a time, and hopefully justice will be ours.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Avery.
We're the hosts and creators of Thick Thighs and Creepy Vibes.
Join us as we take a deep dive into the macabre and the unexplained.
Listen every Wednesday as we take you on a chilling journey that transports you to all corners of the Great White North.
Let's boot those Sunday scaries while we take a rip into the harrowing tales of the haunted and the supernatural phenomena that defy explanation.
So grab your ketchup chips.
And your Caesars. And make sure to
creep it real.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us again.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about your story today, Mom.
Yeah, what are you going to be talking about, Declan?
I'm going to be talking about Ariel Castro. Not a good guy at all. Not. I think I'm going to put a warning.
It's
fairly recent.
Yeah,
like
about 10
years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trigger warning right now.
Not a nice guy.
No.
Gross human being, if you can even call him a human being. I even question that.
Demon, maybe. What are you going to be telling us about today, Mom?
Well, I am going to be telling you about a story out of France that happened back in the 50s. And my story is bizarre. And then it gets a little extra layer of bizarre that, because the main part of the story led to one of the strangest laws in France regarding wine. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So to go with my story, I brought the French 95. Originally, I had never heard of the French 95 until I had.
I thought we did that cocktail already.
No. We've had a couple French ones on here, and I've been wanting to do the French 75, which is gin. And then I was randomly scrolling through Pinterest, and this popped up as the French 95. And I went, oh, what's the difference? And this one has bourbon. So that's why I chose it. And because I thought, well, why not? I'm into bourbon lately. So the French 95 is 1.5 ounces of bourbon, 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 1 ounce of simple syrup, and 3 to 4 ounces of champagne or Prosecco. The steps are to add the bourbon, lemon juice, and simple syrup to a shaker, shake well and strain into a glass, and then top with champagne. So.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we're going to give it a shot. It's pretty tasty.
I like that. Yeah.
I like that too. It's not too sweet.
Mm-mm.
The champagne kind of cuts it. I ended up using champagne instead of Prosecco this time, but because I have been planning.
I don't know what the difference is, honestly. I thought champagne was Prosecco. I thought Prosecco was like champagne that's not made in Champagne or whatever.
Well, Prosecco is Italian, and in my opinion, I think Prosecco is just a little sweeter.
Okay.
And a little less bubbly? Dry. It's bubbly too. Yeah.
Okay. There's too many confusing wine names.
I would agree.
I don't get it.
It's a pretty Malbec, tasty cocktail. A
Merlot. Yeah.
Right. I don't understand wine. The only thing I understand about wine is that I don't like it.
Yeah, and same. I like some dessert wines, but that's about it.
No, I don't like any of them.
Whatever wine we got for the free wine on the cruise, the last cruise we took, that shit was good. I like that, but it was like fairly sweet.
I don't remember.
Bubbly, I don't know. Whatever.
So here's my strange story. It started with an encounter in a small town in the north of France and led to a unique law being passed in a southern village of France, hundreds of miles away from the event. The law wasn't necessarily to protect the citizens of the village, but more in line of protecting their big revenue source. So let's talk about this wild and weird experience. It occurred in September 1954. During the night, railway worker Marius de Wilde was disturbed by his barking dog. Marius and his family lived in a house near the train tracks and the train station in a small town of Carrabelle in northern France. When the dog would not stop barking, Marius decided to see what had upset the dog so badly. He took a flashlight and stepped outside. Walking towards the tracks, he saw a strange object about 20 feet away on the railroad tracks. He described the object as being a cigar-shaped craft. Marius then heard something behind him, and when he turned around, he saw two humanoid figures that were about 3 feet tall. They were wearing suits.
That sounds like a lot of other stories we've told already.
Yes.
Seems to be a pattern here.
Does. Well, it was nice and bizarre, and it was in France, so I got to make a French drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sue me for picking the type of drink first, but the humanoid figures were wearing suits that he described as looking like deep sea diving costumes. As the figures approached,
like the old school ones with the metal helmets, those are cool looking. Yeah,
the helmets. And as the figures approached, the cigar-shaped craft emitted a bright light that came out of it, which paralyzed Marius and locked him in place.
Oh,
yes, and apparently he shined his flashlight at them, and the deep sea diving like costume reflected the light back onto him. So the helmets were reflective and shined the light back. And then as the humanoid figures approached the cigar shaped craft, it had a bright white light that paralyzed him, which is freaking terrifying. I don't want to be paralyzed by anything. The creatures in the suits boarded the ship, which then took off into the sky with changing colors. Inexplicably, Marius's flashlight suddenly went dead. Once he regained his motor function, he went inside to speak with his wife, who had heard nothing of what had just happened outside. He attempted to call the police, but the home phone was not working either. So the phone is dead, his flashlight is dead. No explanation as to why. He spoke with his neighbor, who also had not heard anything. So no one hears anything except for Marius sees this cigar floating thing. Marius was finally able to reach the police, who sent officers over quickly. Maybe because it was 1950s, And that's kind of an odd thing. But I think today, if you called the police and said there's a cigar-shaped UFO in my backyard, you would not see a police officer. I think they would just be like,
they'd laugh at you.
Sure. Whatever kind of drugs you're on, go take a nap. You'll be fine. He attempted to show the officers where the incident happened, but as he approached the area, he quickly became nauseous. If he moved back away from it, the nausea faded, but returned as he got closer again. His apparent illness helped the police officers to believe that the strange occurrence was real. The next day, a train was coming through when it stopped suddenly due to a problem with the tracks. The train tracks were investigated at the spot Marius reported having seen the ship, and there was an indentation in the soil about 20 feet across. It was also discovered that small rocks in and around the tracks, and there was a depression in the soil, and that the rocks had been carbonized, so they didn't look like normal rocks, and the soil didn't look like normal soil any longer in the area where the UFO had been. The supports underneath the tracks and then the ones between the tracks themselves had unusual symmetrical marks that could not be explained. In the days following this incident, more strange things happened. Marius became ill with a respiratory illness, and his dog, the one that wouldn't stop barking, suddenly passed away. No explanation as to why. Dog was fine, and then it wasn't. Some other area residents reported similar sightings as well. And you're going to love this one. Three cows from nearby farms were reported deceased. What do you think they found when they examined the bodies of blood. The cows? Correct.
Oh, no.
Yes. The bodies of the three deceased cows had all been drained of blood, and no explanation as to how that would have happened. So, this event troubled many people in France, which is what caused the interesting law that I mentioned. The law was actually instated in a village about 9 hours away in the south of France. I'm going to try to pronounce the name of this town, but I might get it wrong. The town is Châteauneuf-du-Pape. And the mayor and the city council passed a decree that made it illegal for aircraft known as flying saucers or flying cigars to fly over, land, or take off from their community and its territory. The law further stated that if a flying saucer or flying cigar did land in their village, the craft would be held in custody. And the law actually states flying saucers, quote, flying saucers or flying cigars.
They're illegal. Oh my God.
Yes.
That's crazy.
<It's> hilarious. Although they might have been concerned about the residents of their village, they were also very worried about how UFOs might affect the grapes that they grow that's used for wine. Their wine was their moneymaker, and they took their wine very seriously.
That's funny.
I don't know if the
get radiated
aliens
grapes.
Yeah, maybe the aliens were like looking for grapes. They're like, "Ooh, we heard that there's these really fancy, yummy tasting grapes in this town, so we're gonna fly over." Which it just makes me wonder, like, how did the aliens know about the law? How did they expect the aliens to find out about this law? That they were like, shit. This one town, it's illegal for us to fly over. However,
funny.
It seems to have worked because there haven't been any reported sightings of UFOs in that area. So
that's good.
Whether they got the memo or not, or maybe they just didn't give a fuck about the wine, there haven't been any UFO sightings in that town.
Thank you.
Alrighty, you ready for this awful story I'm about to tell you?
Yes. Not really, but yes.
Okay. So, Ariel Castro was born on July 10th, 1960 in Puerto Rico. Castro started his life in turmoil with him being sexually assaulted by a neighbor when he was five, and his uncle compounded on that by sexually assaulting him a few years after his neighbor did.
Oh, jeez.
And things didn't get better at home.
No.
His mother would routinely abuse him by hitting him with anything nearby she could get her hands on, whether that be a belt, a shoe, or a stick.
Mom of the year.
And yeah, it seemed like Castro carried over the love of his mother to the girlfriends he had. When Castro and his family moved into the house across the street from Grimilda Figueroa, the two began dating. But Castro was very abusive, eventually breaking her ribs, nose, arm, and throwing her down the stairs, breaking her skull, causing an inoperable tumor in her brain.
Oh my. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, guy. Real piece of shit. Castro's abuse didn't end there, though. In 2002, Michelle Knight was scheduled to appear in court over the custody of her child. She was very involved in this court case, so everyone found it weird that she never appeared. She would have if Castro hadn't kidnapped her, though. Castro saw Michelle walking alone one day and offered her a ride. However, he didn't drop her off where she wanted to go. Instead, he drove straight to his house and bound her hands and feet together. He drug her upstairs and began sexually abusing her. He left her there for 3 days without food or water, and eventually set up a small plastic toilet and some food and water, but still left her locked up in a dark room.
Yuck.
Michelle sat there for almost a full year before gaining a friend.
A year?
Yes, alone, just in this dark room.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor woman.
On April 21st, 2003, 16-year-old Amanda Berry was walking home from Burger King when Castro offered her a ride. Similar to Michelle, he drove straight to his house, bound her hands and legs, and brought her upstairs with Michelle. But Castro didn't stop there.
No, of course not.
Castro kidnapped his daughter's best friend, 14-year-old Georgina De Jesus.
Oh my God.
All three girls were locked in the basement together with a small plastic toilet that was rarely emptied.
Oh.
Each captive was left chained to the wall with very little room to move around. Castro would physically, emotionally, and sexually abuse them.
Of course he would, because he is the...
Yeah, piece of shit. The sexual abuse led to Michelle Knight getting pregnant 5 times.
Oh, my. Yeah. 5?
Yeah. And Castro would induce a miscarriage by punching her, throwing dumbbells at her, or throwing her into a wall. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, trigger warning. Doesn't get better from here.
I don't know. I know vaguely of this story, but I don't know a lot of the details. So, yay for knowing the details mm-hmm. now. I don't know the outcome, so I'm really hoping that at the end of this, you say he is not alive anymore. Continue.
Okay. At one point, Castro found a stray dog and put it into the room with the girls. He figured it would help keep them entertained. Okay. One day, Castro was bit by the dog who was trying to protect Michelle. So he decided to snap the dog's neck in front of the girls and use it as a lesson to keep them from trying to escape. Yeah.
No.
Not good. About 2 years after Berry was kidnapped, she became pregnant, and Castro decided against killing her or the baby and ordered the other girls to help deliver the baby. He told them that if the baby didn't survive, he would kill all of them. Yeah. During the process, the baby died, but Michelle was able to resuscitate it. So Yeah, I got real close. The baby would spend most of its time locked up with Barry, who taught her daughter how to read and write. Castor would bring the daughter out into town, and she would refer to him as her father.
Wow.
Yeah, real ballsy.
Oh my.
Castro would often test the woman by telling them he was leaving the house and leave a door or two unlocked, and if they tried to leave, he would beat them. So he'd be waiting in the other room, and if they tried to get out, then...
He's setting them up.
On May 6, 2013, Castro actually left the house and this time forgot to lock the door, which helped the captors. Barry discovered this unlocked door and was able to signal the next door neighbor. Charles Ramsey heard Barry screaming through the window and helped her kick out the bottom part of the storm door, which helped the women. Barry and her now 6-year-old daughter were able to climb out, leaving behind Knight and DeJesus. So they, they've been in there for so long. Police arrived and assisted the remaining captors to the hospital.
Captives?
Michelle,
You said captors, captives? The remaining captives?
Captives, yeah, sorry. Okay. Michelle had been beaten so badly that no one recognized her. Castro was arrested at a McDonald's parking lot shortly after the victims were rescued. He was charged with 4 counts of kidnapping and 3 counts of rape initially, but after the trial, Castro faced 512 counts of kidnapping, 446 counts of rape, 7 counts of gross sexual imposition, 6 of felonious assault, 3 of child endangerment, 2 of aggravated murder, and 1 of possession of criminal tools. Castro was convicted in order to serve life in prison plus 1,000 years without possibility of parole.
Wow.
Which, plus 1,000 years, you think this guy's Dracula or something? What?
Yes. They want to make sure that crazy. He is never going to see the light of day again. Now.
Yeah.
Is he was still charged alive with, like, in prison?
Yes, I do believe so. Okay. He was charged with, not that I saw it. He was charged with like over 900 counts or something like that. It's fucking nuts.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy deserves to spend every second in jail.
Oh,
killing him would be too easy.
True. No, I don't mean like he should get the death penalty. That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking for
someone dispatched him.
some jailhouse. Prison.
If someone pulled a Whitey Bulger on him,
I this might get me in big trouble with people that are listening, but if there's anybody who deserved to have bad things happen to them, it is somebody who does these kind of things to people for so long, you know.
13 years that they were locked in there.
It's insane.
Fucking crazy.
Oh, I hope.
Yeah. Ugh. Fucked up.
Those poor women and that poor child to grow up like
grow
that.
Grow up in that environment. Yeah. Definitely not getting proper nutrition and vitamins and shit like that.
No.
And then having to have an abusive person keeping you there.
Right. So, last episode or a couple episodes ago, we were talking about the movie Blast from the Past, where Brendan Fraser was in a bunker because his parents thought that nuclear war had happened and they hid under there. And when he came out, the reality of the world was so much different than what he was expecting. I would think that for those women and for that child, being outside and suddenly a new reality has got to be so difficult to just comprehend.
Yeah, it probably calling the cops was probably hard because I doubt they had seen a smartphone before.
Right. So the neighbor, what kind of trauma is that poor neighbor going through? Can you imagine, like, you're just in your house and you hear something and then you're like, oh, I should go check that out. And of all the things to find. Holy shit.
That's, you go to like that dude's house for like barbecues and stuff. And then you find out he's been keeping people locked in his basement.
I can't.
Yeah,
oh.
Super fucked up.
I mean, I am a firm believer that you never truly know what another person is capable of, and to say, oh, so-and-so would never do something like that. I don't think I could say that about basically anybody, any of my friends, to be like, I can't, God knows what's happening in my neighbor's house. I hope there's no one trapped inside.
Yeah, I hope not either.
Oh my God. Well, do you have a chaser so we can change our palettes from that horrible, nasty story?
I do. And this one is UFO related as well.
Oh, fabulous.
So recently, across three different states, a UFO was spotted.
Really?
But it's not what you're thinking. It was driving along the road. So this dude built a UFO-shaped car. It has like a glass dome on top that lifts up. It's covered in metal panels. And he was recently pulled over three times in three different states. Because he had expired tags on it, but a bunch of the police officers took pictures with him.
Oh,
and
shit.
He's like this older man, long, like gray hair. He's wearing like alien eye shaped sunglasses, if that makes any sense. They're like oval shaped sunglasses. Right. He's got bright red flame pants on.
He's
driving a UFO. Yeah.
Oh my Christ.
I just thought it was pretty funny. I've never seen a car look like that before. That's pretty good craftsmanship for I saw it on Good News Network, so if you guys want to see pictures, you can go head over there. But it's pretty wild looking.
I saw a picture of it and I didn't read the article, but oh my God, that's hilarious. That would have been a good one for me to do with my UFO story, but it's perfect that you did it for this episode with my UFO story. Although
apparently
it needed to be cigar shaped.
True. This one's just saucer shaped, but they're on their way to a UFO festival in Roswell, which I didn't know existed. And I kind of want to go to now.
Maybe we have to do a road trip and go to that because it would be interesting to see. And I bet you your dad would be all over that just for the people watching factor.
There's probably some weirdos there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty funny, though.
That is awesome. Well, my chaser is, depending on your opinion, my chaser could be lame, but it's fantastic to me, and that is homemade ice cream.
Delicious homemade ice cream.
Homemade ice cream, and we are making homemade ice cream today, and I am so excited for it because we're going to do vanilla ice cream with brown butter peach sauce to go in it. So I'm super excited.
That sounds delicious. Have you ever tried making nectarine ice cream?
I have not tried nectarine. I would think it would be delicious. I bought peaches.
Because they're similar to peaches, but.
Yes. I bought peaches for a cocktail last weekend that I was making. And I didn't use all of the peaches. And I thought, well, I need to do something with these peaches. And then I was like, oh my God, let's do ice cream. And then decided to make like a brown butter peach compote with a crumble, like oat flour crumble to go on top. And I'm so excited because that is for dessert tonight. So
maybe a little bit of rum would go in there. Like pretty good. Ooh,
that would be
just a splash of it. Give it a little more sweetness and a little kick.
So for anybody who's interested in a good homemade ice cream recipe, we have been using this recipe for a long time. And it is 1 cup of whole milk, 2 cups of whipping cream, 2/3 of a cup of sugar, and then either a vanilla bean or a tablespoon of vanilla extract. And then we mix all that together and we have the one of those countertop ice cream makers, but you could use that any kind of ice cream maker, I would think, to make it.
Ziploc bags and ice.
probably. Hey, I don't know.
Sure it'd work. It's the same.
The measurements.
That's how I made ice cream as a kid.
Yes. The measurements are specifically the size we need for our Cuisinart ice cream maker. So
that's
for people out there who you have a different
shrink it
ice
down if
maker,
you need to.
I know. I've seen the Ninja Foodie, the Creamy, which is an ice cream maker. And I cannot justify buying it because I already own 2 ice cream makers. I don't need
three. That one's different. I think it makes like sorbet out of like fruit.
Yeah, it does that too. I think mine would probably do that as well. It's just a freezer tub that you have to stick in the freezer and remember to put it in there, and we didn't for 2 days. So we were supposed to have ice cream for dessert last night, but nobody remembered to put the damn canister in the freezer. So it's dessert tonight. So
sounds good.
All right. Well, nice chatting with you, bud.
Yeah, nice chatting with you too. I enjoyed hearing that weird. I find like weird laws like that so interesting.
Like, yes.
I found this guy on YouTube who breaks weird British laws. Like, the last video I saw was like, it's illegal to stop a cow in the middle of the street to wash it. And he did that, and all the police are just looking at him super weird.
Because they're like, what the fuck are you doing, bro?
Why is there a cow in the middle of downtown?
I guarantee they don't know that law, because it was probably from like 300 years ago.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Love you, Mom.
Love you, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.